Opposing Principles. Chapter 4. Why the Conflict? Against this whole system, Christianity was diametrically opposed. Supremacy of God. First, in its assertion of the supremacy of God, in the idea of God as manifested in Jesus Christ as the highest idea of good, in the will of God as expressed in His law as the highest conception of right, and in the fear of God and the keeping of His commandments as the whole duty of man. Christ had set Himself before His disciples as the one possessing all power in heaven and in earth. He had told them to go into all the world and teach to every creature all things whatsoever He had commanded them. Christ had said that the first of all the commandments, that which inculcates the highest and first of all duties, is, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This put Jesus Christ above the state, and put allegiance to Him above allegiance to the state. This denied the supremacy of Rome, and likewise denied either that the Roman gods were gods at all or that the genius of Rome itself was in any sense a god. Separation of Caesar and God. Secondly, when the Republic as represented by the Senate and people of Rome was merged in the imperial power, and the emperor became the embodiment of the state, he represented the dignity, the majesty, and the power of the state, and likewise, in that, represented the divinity of the state. Hence divinity attached to the Caesars. Christianity was directly opposed to this, as shown by the word of Christ, who, when asked by the Pharisees and the Herodians whether it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not, answered, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." In this, Christ established a clear distinction between Caesar and God, and between religion and the state. He separated that which pertains to God from that which pertains to the state. Only that which was Caesar's was to be rendered to Caesar, while that which is God's was to be rendered to God, and with no reference whatever to Caesar. The state being divine, and the Caesar reflecting this divinity, whatever was God's was Caesar's. Therefore, when Christ made this distinction between God and Caesar, and separated that which pertains to God from that which pertains to Caesar, and commanded men to render to God that which is God's, and to Caesar only that which is Caesar's, He at once stripped Caesar the state of every attribute of divinity. And in doing this He declared the supremacy of the individual conscience, because it rests with the individual to decide what things they are which pertain to God. A summary. Thus, Christianity proclaimed the right of the individual to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience. Rome asserted the duty of every man to worship according to the dictates of the state. Christianity asserted the supremacy of God. Rome asserted the supremacy of the state. Christianity set forth God as manifested in Jesus Christ as the chief good. Rome held the state to be the highest good. Christianity set forth the law of God as the expression of the highest conception of right. Rome held the law of the state to be the expression of the highest idea of right. Christianity taught that the fear of God and the keeping of His commandments is the whole duty of man. Rome taught that to be the obedient servant of the state is the whole duty of man. Christianity preached Christ as the sole possessor of power in heaven and in earth. Rome declared the state to be the highest power. Christianity separated that which is God's from that which is Caesar's. Rome maintained that what is God's is Caesar's. This was the contest, and these were the reasons of it, between Christianity and the Roman Empire. The duty owed to Caesar. Yet in all this, Christianity did not deny to Caesar a place, it did not propose to undo the state. It only taught to the state its proper place, and proposed to have the state take that place and keep it. Christianity did not dispute the right of the Roman state to be, it only denied the right of that state to be in the place of God. In the very words in which he separated between that which is Caesar's and that which is God's, Christ recognized the rightfulness of Caesar's existence, and that there were things that rightfully belonged to Caesar, and which were to be rendered to him by Christians. He said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In these words he certainly recognized that Caesar had jurisdiction in certain things, and that within that jurisdiction he was to be respected. As Caesar represented the state, in this scripture the phrase represents the state, whether it be the state of Rome or any other state on earth. This is simply the statement of the right of civil government to be, that there are certain things over which civil government has jurisdiction, and that in these things the authority of civil government is to be respected. This jurisdiction is more clearly defined in Paul's letter to the Romans. There it is commanded, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." In this is asserted the right of the higher powers, that is, the right of the state to exercise authority, and that Christians must be subject to that authority. Further, it is given as a reason for this, that there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. This asserts not only the right of the state to be and to exercise authority, it also asserts the truth that the state is an ordinance of God, and that the power which it exercises is ordained of God. Yet in this very assertion, Christianity was held to be antagonistic to Rome, because it put the God of the Christians above the Roman state, and made the state to be only an ordinance of the God of the Christians. For the Roman Empire, or for any of the Roman emperors, to have recognized the truth of this statement, would have been at once to revolutionize the whole system of civil and religious economy of the Romans, and to deny at once the value of the accumulated wisdom of all the generations of the Roman ages. Yet that was the only proper alternative of the Roman state, and that is what ought to have been done. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the right of God to change the king's word in behalf of the freedom of the conscience of the individual. Civil government being thus declared to be of God, and its authority ordained of God, the instruction proceeds. Whoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Governments being of God, and their authority being ordained of God, Christians in respecting God will necessarily respect, in its place, the exercise of the authority ordained by Him, but this authority, according to the words of Christ, is to be exercised only in those things which are Caesar's, and not in things which pertain to God. Accordingly, the letter to the Romans proceeds. For this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. This connects Paul's argument directly with that of Christ above referred to, and shows that this is but a comment on that statement, and an extension of the argument therein contained. The scripture proceeds. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let it be borne in mind that the apostle is here writing to Christians concerning the respect and duty which they are to render to the powers that be, that is, to the state in fact. He knew full well, and so did those to whom he wrote, that there are other commandments in the very law of which a part is here quoted. The duty owed to God. But he and they likewise knew that these other commandments do not in any way relate to any man's duty or respect to the powers that be. Those other commandments of the law which is here partly quoted, relate to God and to man's duty to him. One of them is, you shall have no other gods before me, another, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image, another, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and another, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And these are briefly comprehended in that saying, namely, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. According to the words of Christ, all these obligations, pertaining solely to God, are to be rendered to him only, and with man in this realm, Caesar can never of right have anything to do in any way whatever. As, therefore, the instruction in Romans 13 verses 1-10 is given to Christians concerning their duty in respect to the powers that be, and as this instruction is confined absolutely to man's relationship to his fellow man, it is evident that when Christians have paid their taxes, and have shown proper respect to their fellow men, then their obligation, their duty, and their respect, to the powers that be, have been fully discharged, and those powers never can rightly have any further jurisdiction over their conduct. This is not to say that the state has jurisdiction of the last 6 commandments as such. It is only to say that the juristic tie-in of the state is confined solely to man's conduct toward man, and never can touch his relationship to God, even under the second table of the law. This doctrine asserts the right of every man to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience, as he pleases, and when he pleases. Just this, however, was the subject of the whole controversy between Christianity and the Roman Empire.